you have more than likely seen at some point in your life a mama meltdown. Some of you saw one this morning. This is raw, this is real. But and some of us, if we're honest, we've caused a few mama meltdowns. Now, I'm going to be honest. I had never seen a mama meltdown in my life because my mama didn't melt down in front of me. It was later confirmed that she did melt down, but she would go. I never saw my parents argue. I never saw them fight. I never saw them melt down. But it was confirmed that they just did it in front of me, which I don't know if that's good or bad. I'm just saying I remember being in a car with some friends, and the mom had taken us all to Winn-Dixie to do some grocery shopping because we're going to make burgers and stuff. And this mom, when I tell you she had it together, man, she had it together. She was a single mom, three kids. She worked in a company where she was like some sort of VP. She was polished, dotted the I's, crossed the T's. This woman had it together. We are driving down the road. When I say we're driving, she was driving, and I'm in the car with all my friends, and we're getting ready to go under this red light. Now, the car in front of her stopped at the yellow light. Keep in mind, she taught Sunday school. I mean, this is a godly woman. But the car in front of her stopped at a yellow light and thus causing her to stop. And all of a sudden, I saw this woman transform in front of my eyes. She went, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, Lord, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And I looked at her daughter like she went, oh. She's good. It's a meltdown. And I'd never seen one of those. I was fascinated by this. And some of you are like, why didn't you record it on your phone? It was 1984. We didn't have phones in our cars. But we've all seen something like that, or we've all called something like that. And if you're a mom, you've had a meltdown a time or two in your life. And if you ever ask yourself, I wish I could have fewer meltdowns. Because there's some moms here today. I've met so many moms. This is why I don't do counseling, because I'm a horrible counselor. So many moms, you feel like you're doing a horrible job, and it's not that you did a horrible job. You just got a stupid kid. I mean, that's... See why I don't do counseling? Right there. There it is. And so today I want to look at a mother in the Bible, because usually on Mother's Day, you get the sermon like, moms, you could do better. You could be a better mom. Everybody leaves feeling guilty. But I want to let you know, if you've ever wrestled with being a mom or struggled with being a mom or kind of felt like overwhelmed being a mom, so did every mother in the Bible. So today we're going to look at the mother of Jesus, which if there was a mother in the Bible that should have had it all together, don't you think it should have been Mary? Now, if you got a Catholic background, first of all, congratulations on your new pope. Somebody asked me, how do you think he's doing? I'm like, he's been the pope for 4 days. I have no idea how he's doing. He wears a robe. He looks like a Jedi. I think he's doing great. But if you're from a Catholic background, you may not love this message. That's okay. You pray to Mary and you worship Mary. But see, in Christianity, we worship, this isn't a shot. This is just, we worship Jesus. He's the only divine. He is the Son of God. Mary was incredibly human. I'm going to prove it to you today. And she wrestled as a mother, just like every mother in this room probably wrestles from time to time. Now, if you're single and you haven't got married yet, you haven't become a mother yet, this is going to be fun. If you're a dude, if you're a single dude, I'm going to give you a couple red flags in here, okay? You're going to appreciate this. This is going to be good. Don't worry, I'll get y'all back on Father's Day. And some of y'all, I ain't planning on coming back, but if you're dating a girl, she's like, oh, we going back on Father's Day. So you know the story of Mary. Mary's living in this little village called Nazareth, and it's not impressive. I've been there. It's not impressive today. It couldn't have been impressive 2,000 years ago. And an angel shows up and says, you're going to have a baby. He's going to be a boy, which that took care of the gender reveal. Didn't have to worry about that. You're going to name him Jesus, that solved a lot of problems right there. Just you're going to name him Jesus. And then the angel tells Mary a couple of things about Jesus that you would think that she would keep in mind. But Mary, being human, just like us, she forgot a couple things. The first thing the angel said is that he will be very great. Let me pause real quick and ask the moms, isn't that what you want for your child? For them just to be great, to do great things. For no mom in this room, no mom watching online, when your child is born, you go, God, I hope this kid sucks. No, none of us do. And if you do, wow, that's messed up. Even for second chance, that's messed up, okay? We want our children to be great. And then you've got an angel giving you a promise from God that you're going to have a great kid. Is this a bonus? Yes or no? Yes. And then the angel tells her something that you would think that she might not forget. The angel says, and, Mary goes, and? Yeah, keep writing this down, Mary. And will be called the Son of the Most High. Now, the Most High, I don't think I'm going to surprise a lot of people here. The Most High is actually a reference to God. He's going to be the Son of God. Think about that responsibility. Mary, you're going to take care of God's Son. Is this a huge responsibility? Yes or no? And because of this, with this in mind, we're going to step into three things that typically cause what I call the mama meltdown. Number one, feeling helpless. Any moms in this room ever felt helpless a time or two, right? Moms will do this. They'll be like, I'm a horrible mother. Why? Because my kid fell out of a tree and broke his arm. And that makes you I'm a horrible mother because I let that happen. Couple questions. Did you ever talk to your kid about not climbing the tree? Yes, I did. Did you tell the kid if you climb the tree, what could happen? Yes, if he falls out of the tree, he'll break his arm, break his leg. Then you're not a horrible mother. Your kid just disobeyed. Now, if you had followed your child up the tree and went, and threw the kid out of the tree, that's jacked up. But so many moms feel helpless when their kids do bad on a test, or your kids injure themselves, or moms, let me ask you this question. I'm not asking you this to make you feel guilty. I'm just asking you because just to ask, how many of you ever left your kids somewhere by accident? Anybody ever left you? Come on, raise your hand. Raise your hand. You get the call. It's Walmart. Hey, your kid's fine. Some of you are like, no, I left my kid on purpose at Walmart. The reason I bring this up is because Mary went through this. Mary went through this. Mary went through this time where she felt helpless. And there's so many moms here today watching online or in the room, and you feel helpless as a mom. So let's look at this story about Jesus when he was 12 years old. We get one snapshot of Jesus. We see when he's born, when he starts his ministry, but there's one snapshot that Luke gives us, and it's such a gem. In Luke chapter 2, watch this. Watch this. This is great. Luke 2:41 says, every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. Now, this would have been somewhere between a 4 and 7 day walk. So this was a hike. This wasn't like hop in the car and ride over to the next. This was a journey. This was a big deal. And they would travel in groups. And the reason you traveled in groups is because it was safer that way. The more people you had in your group, the less likely you were to be attacked. And so they're traveling. I'm laughing because I know what's coming. Verse 42. When Jesus was 12 years old. Pause. We're about to talk about 12-year-old boy Jesus. See, we think of Jesus like with a halo Jesus, shiny Jesus, but 12-year-old boy Jesus is a little bit mischievous. Now, I know that if you're from a church background, you're like, not my Jesus. Yep, yours, that one, he is. You just hadn't read this part about him, or you didn't read it right. Watch this. They attended the festival as usual. After the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth. But Jesus stayed behind. You think he had a smile on his face when he did it? Like his mom and dad are walking away and he's like, Luke's going to write about this. Y'all going to be famous for leaving me at Costco in Jerusalem, all right? But Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first. Pause. This is how you know the Bible's true. Because parents, there are some days when your kids, you don't miss them being in the back seat. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? No, shut up. Are we there? No, shut up. If you ask me one more time, ask me one more time. My dad used to do that. Ask me one more time, and I'm literal. I'll be like, am I supposed to ask again? They didn't miss him at first. That's how you know the Bible's true, because aren't there some days when you get some peace and quiet and you're like, you don't know where your kids are, and you're like, you know, I'll find them about 5 minutes. I'll find them about 5 minutes because this just feels so good. They didn't miss him at first because they assumed he was among the other travelers. Once again, you would travel. It was very common. Maybe he's with his uncle. Maybe he's with his cousin. He's got a cousin named John the Baptist, and maybe they're talking theology. We don't know what they're doing, but maybe they're just hanging out. We're traveling with a group, so he's somewhere with a group. He's all good. But evening starts to come, and if you grew up like me, it was awesome because we had no phones. Our parents did not know where we were. They could not track us. You remember the, man, those were awesome days. But if your mama called you, or my dad would step out the back door and whistle. And he had a whistle that they could hear in Florida. I mean, it was loud. And that was my cue to come home. And if I did not come home when the whistle was given, my butt would be whistling later on. You know what I'm saying? Like so they're looking for Jesus. Can you imagine? They're like looking for Jesus. Jesus! Joseph's out there whistling. Jesus! Jesus! Gee, what is he doing? He didn't show up that evening, and they started looking for him among their relatives and friends. Pause. I just want to just a side note. Sometimes the reason we don't find Jesus is because we're looking for him in the wrong places. I'll let that sink in for just a minute, because it's true. We look for Jesus. Some people go, I can see Jesus when I'm out on the lake fishing. But can you? Really, like you can in God's house celebrating who Jesus is with God's people? Can you really? Or is that just an excuse to go out and be by yourself? I'm just throwing that out. It's not even Father's Day. So they're looking for Jesus, and they can't find him. Now watch this, verse 45. When they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. Pause. Did Mary feel like a failure? Yes or no? Yeah, because you lost God's son, Mary. Your only job was to raise the Son of God, and you have lost him as a 12-year-old. Now, as they're walking back to Jerusalem, by the way, we know geographically, this was an uphill walk. Have you ever seen a mama walk and talk, the angry walk and talk at the same time? Because I can see Mary. She is speed walking. Joseph can't keep up because he's wearing the robe, right? And she's talking, oh, I am going to wear him out when I see him. He's got me. And Joseph's like, And Mary's like, who does he think he is? Jesus Christ. And Joseph's like, well, actually, Mary. And Joseph, shut up, Joseph. Can you see this? Is there tension between Mary and Joseph? You were supposed to be. This is your fault. This is all your fault. You should have been watching him. When we get, I'm going to tell you what. And it gets worse. It doesn't get better. Watch this. 3 days later. Okay. I lost Karis once for 20 seconds in an ice cream shop and melted down. I screamed her name. She was right here beside me the whole time, but I can't even imagine how Mary and Joe, because they got to Jerusalem and they're like, all right, well, let's check all the places. Let's check the souvenir store. Let's check Disney Jerusalem. Let's check all the places. And they can't find Jesus. And it takes them 3 days. By the way, it was Passover festival, 3 days. Passover festival, 3 days. Jesus would be crucified on the Passover festival. In 3 days, he would rise from the dead. See, the gospel's all through the gospel. I just love it. Anyway, that's just for the Bible nerds. 3 days later, they finally discovered him. He was in church. See, isn't it funny that the last place they looked for Jesus was church? Okay. You hear a rat fart in this place right now. I'm just going to kind of leave it right there. They discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Now pause. Maybe you would think that Mary would have been like, oh, the angel said he was the son of the Most High. And the temple is the house of the Most High. And so, but did Mary have a hard time taking God at his word? Yeah. So do we. So do moms. Maybe you got a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter, and you did your best to bring them up in church. But they have walked away. And you read that proverb, Proverbs 22:6 says, bring up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. And you are questioning God right now. It doesn't mean you're not a good person. It just confirms that you're human. By the way, he always works it out in his time. Next verse says, his parents didn't know what to think. Once again, that's how you know. Listen, all the kids in this room, before you were born, your parents were normal, smart people that could actually carry on a conversation and complete a sentence. But then you came along, and we started doing things like, hey, See, every parent right there understood what I was saying. It was kind of like parents speaking in tongues right there. That's what that was. If you're not a parent, you didn't get that. But if you're a parent, have you ever been able just to not form a sentence in your mind because you were so angry? And you're like, don't say that, don't say that, don't say that. His parents didn't know what to think. Son, his mother said. That's how you know the Bible's true, because Joseph at this point is not saying a word. He's been walking with Mary. He has heard Mary for 3 days, and he's like, you know what? You're the son of God. You're going to have to figure this out on your own. I can't help. Son, his mother said to him, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic. And I'm sure she paused and looked at Joseph and just went, yeah, we've been frantic. We've been frantic searching for you everywhere. And Jesus' answer is so good. But I gotta be honest, if it would have been me answering my mother this way, the whole death, burial, and resurrection would have had to been moved up. Some of you, you're gonna agree, because look what Jesus said. But why? Pause. That's all it would have taken. My mom would have looked at me and said, but why? And my life would have ended. She would at least rip my lips off. I mean, some of you understand this. Can you imagine 12-year-old Jesus with a smile on his face going, Mary, but why? But why did you need to search? He asked. Don't miss this. Didn't you know? There's not a mom in this room that wouldn't have gone off on sweet little baby Jesus at this point. If your child looks at you, didn't you know? But I don't think he said it like that. I think he was like, Mom, didn't you know that I must be in my father's house? Mary forgot what the angel had said to her. Mary forgot he's the son of the Most High. He'll be in the house of the Most High. I'm not saying that to pick on Mary. I'm just saying that to every mom in the room today that feels completely helpless. The reason we feel helpless sometimes is we forget the word of God. And when we forget the word of God, we will always choose fear over faith. And you may be helpless. And maybe it's coming to that realization that you're helpless that will cause all of us, whether it's a mom or anybody in this room, all of us to turn everything completely over to the Lord. Because when we feel helpless and we understand we can't do it on our own, that's when God goes, I've been waiting for that. Amen. I've been waiting for that right there. Just a side note, and I hope this is encouraging to some moms today. It encouraged me, and I'm not even a mom, but this was encouraging. The entire time Jesus was out of Mary's sight, he was in the hands of God. And even though your child might be running right now, and they might be out of your sight, and you don't know what they're doing, they are in the hands of God, and he's going to do his thing in his time, and it will be immeasurably more than all we could ever ask or imagine. Which leads to number two, battling the two C's. Some of y'all already tried to figure them out. Battling the two C's. Can we agree? And don't worry, I'm gonna pick on dads on Father's Day, okay? So today I'm gonna pick on moms just a little. We'll get all the dads on Father's Day. Can we agree? Sometimes mamas at children's events like are a little extra. You ever seen Pageant Mom? Mm-hmm. Now, if you're not laughing because you're a pageant mom, and that's just weird. She's four and you got her in a tanning bed. You need to stop that. But I saw it firsthand. So Kara's my daughter. She's taken voice lessons for years. And she can actually sing. And I was nervous. The first time I went to see her do a voice recital, I showed up and I was nervous. And let me tell you why I was nervous. I wasn't nervous because I was afraid of her performance and how it was going to reflect on me. I didn't really know if she could sing or not. And I'm never going to be the dad that goes, you can do anything you want to do. And I was nervous. Oh my God, if she can't sing, I'm going to have to tell her, baby, no, you can't sing. So have you ever been there? You're seeing your kid perform and you're nervous. So I'm nervous and I'm scared. And I'm sitting there. And the first girl that went, she smoked it. I mean, it was, she got up at, now she, I found out later she was leaving the next week to go be on a Broadway show. And I was like, well, obviously, because she was hitting notes. I was blown away. And then the second girl got up and she was good. And then Karis got up and I'm like, oh. And I'm by myself and I kind of got, you ever just sat there, you got that nervous rock? And she started singing. I was like, oh, it's good. Oh, it's good. Got my phone out and videoing. It was so good. I was like, man, this is the best day ever. And then the fourth girl got up to sing. And when I tell y'all, it was not good. No, I know you shouldn't say, no, I should. I should say, somebody's got to help this girl out. Because she sang and I was like, oh. And I clapped when it was over. And I didn't clap because it was good. I clapped because it was a 6-minute song. It's the longest 6 minutes of my life. And I was so glad. But her mother was on the second row and her mother, the only one that gave her a standing ovation, her mother was like, that was so good. And I'm like, you are lying to her right now. I was saying this in my mind. I found out later that the little girl didn't want to sing. Her mother was a singer and was trying to live through her daughter. Now, I'm sure nobody in this room's ever done that, but we know people. They go to other churches, right? But none of us have ever tried to live through our children. And we wrestle because we live in a world. Well, let me show you this in Scripture. In the ancient world, the world Jesus was born into, whatever your dad did, that's what you would do. So if your dad was made shoes, you would grow up to make shoes. If your dad was a fisherman, you would grow up to be a fisherman. If your dad was a carpenter, like Jesus' dad, Joseph, was a carpenter, you would grow up to be a carpenter. So there was an expectation on Jesus to be a carpenter because he was the oldest son, so he was supposed to carry on the family business. But when Jesus turned 30, he wasn't a carpenter anymore. He started a ministry. And I'm sure at first, Mary was like, well, I mean, he is like special, you know, he's always made A's on his test. I don't understand. We bought that one loaf of bread when he was two, and we've never had to buy another one. It's been amazing. I don't know what's going on, but there's something special about that kid. And so he goes out and starts this little Bible study in this ministry, and it's going great, and then it explodes. In Mark chapter 2, Jesus is in a house, and people rip the roof off to try to get in the house. I mean, Jesus is getting popular, and people are talking about Jesus. People are talking about him so much that the Bible says once in Mark chapter 3, verse 20, one time Jesus entered a house, and the crowds began to gather again. Soon he and his disciples couldn't even find time to eat, which is a major problem. I ain't got time to eat. I'm going to get hangry. I'm going to start preaching mad. And so, but this, he's the Son of God, so I'm sure he was fine. But can we agree this is what you would call a successful ministry, yes or no? Yes. But see, there's a problem. Jesus' brothers thought he was crazy. And so did Mary. Mary had a hard time believing that Jesus was doing what he was supposed to be doing. Now, I know some of you have never heard this, and that's fine. Go home and read your Bibles if you don't believe me. I promise you this is true. The reason I know is because the next verse says, when his family heard what was happening, and we know from later in later verses that Mary was among this group, they tried to take him away. He's out of his mind, they said. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is going, he's lost his mind. Now, what would cause this? You've never heard this before, have you? They were trying to do an intervention to bring him home. Probably tie him up, and we're not untying you. Do you do what we want you to do? And she fell into a trap. I think she fell into a couple traps. Letter A is comparison. You ever heard two mothers talking about their kids and one's trying to one-up the other? Oh, so my kid made an A on the test. My kid made straight A's. My kid got into college. My kid got into a university. My kid's graduating early. My kid graduated when he was born. I mean, they just start making stuff up. And some mothers, let's be honest, some mothers, we know how perfect your kid is because the back of your minivan. By the way, bumper sticker rule, the more bumper stickers, the weirder the person. It's true. Just think about it for just 1 second. And if you're that person that goes, hey, I got a bunch of bumper stickers, if the shoe fits. Anyway, comparison will kill the joy in you faster than anything in the world. When you compare your kid even to their siblings, when you compare your kid to other kids, when you compare your family photo on Instagram to the other photoshopped family photo on Instagram, comparison always robs us of our joy. And comparison can be that thing that strips a mother of her joy and peace. At the end of the day, this is where we've all got to land as mothers and fathers. God has a plan for our sons and our daughters, and it's better than our plan. And even when our child doesn't measure up to the rest of the children, as long as he or she is walking with Jesus, we've got to learn to celebrate that. Because I know two moms, one was bragging, my kid got into college, and the other one's going, well, my kid's going to be a plumber. And 10 years later, the kid that went to college had $150,000 in debt and a useless degree, and the plumber was making $150,000 a year. So we got to watch what we push our kids towards. Amen? Now this next one is going to sting for just a minute. Everybody know I love them? Control. Raise your hand if you know a controlling woman. I mean, kidding, don't. Just look straight ahead, guys. Just look straight ahead. Look straight ahead. Mamas have a tendency. It's called mama bear syndrome. They will take over. Am I right? And so, moms, listen. When your child's born, you have to control them. Because if you don't, your two-year-old will, listen, leave your two-year-old alone for 2 minutes and they will burn down your house. Am I right? They will find the most, they will turn the gas on the stove. They will throw the dog in the dryer. They will throw their sister out the back door. You've got to control, and you can control them. Isn't it awesome when you are in a supermarket, if your kid has a meltdown and just lays down on the floor, you can reach and grab them with that mama hand and pull them up and walk them out. You can carry them to the car, and you can tell them, don't you ever do that again. You can do that when they're two or three, but if they're 30 and you're still doing that, we've got a problem. Now, single dudes, red flag alert. If you want to know what she's really like, watch what happens to her when something doesn't go her way. how she reacts. Here's why you need to know. Because one day, you're going to be the recipient of that. Can you live with it? You're welcome. There's so many moms, though, that the reason that you're miserable is you're trying to control your kid, and for the first 10 years, you got to. But eventually, you've got to let Jesus work in and through them and lead them in the way that he's leading them to go. You're not going to be able to control that situation anymore. And mothers that try to control, I remember doing a wedding one time. I officiate weddings from time to time. And sometimes they're fun and sometimes they're not. This one was a not fun wedding. And it wasn't the bride. It was the mother of the bride who had an opinion about everything. It got so bad, I'm not making this up, true story. It got so bad, we were standing there, the bride's in tears, this rehearsal dinner. The bride's in tears. I said, what do you want? Her mother was like, I'll tell you what she wants, and something just snapped. It just snapped in me. I've never done this, but I've never done this before. I haven't done it since. But something snapped in me because the bride is crying, and I know this couple, and I paused, and I went, ma'am, sit down. She said, excuse me. I said, sit down. This is her wedding. I'm not hearing another word you've got to say. Do we have an understanding? And she looked at her husband, and her husband went, which is man code for, yes, sir, I've been wanting to say that for 40 years and I never have been able to. True story. We're not friends anymore, but the important part is there's some things that are beyond our control. Now, switching back, I want every mom to hear me because sometimes when you're trying to take care of that child and you go to church and you hear a sermon like, you need to read your Bible and pray more. And then you have to take care of your baby and you need to serve more. And then you come to, I mean, it's this back and forth. Mothers, if you don't get anything out of today's message, this is what I want you to understand. Taking care of your children is worship. So let me tell you something, moms. When Jesus gives you that child, he is trusting you with that child's life to steward that child well. And worship in this room, it's easy. Because the band's playing a good song and we raise our hands, that's worship and that's easy. Can we admit that's easy? But changing a diaper at 2 o'clock in the morning, that's not easy. But it's worship because God trusted you to do that. Feeding at 4 o'clock in the morning is an act of worship. Sitting up with that sick child, that is an act of worship. And no, maybe you don't get to read your Bible as much or pray as much as you did before you had the kid, but you know what? You're worshiping a whole lot more. Because worship isn't just what we feel in the moment, it's what we do when we don't feel like doing it. Next, and man, I'm wrestling with this right now too. This is for the dads too, but it's Mother's Day, so it's mostly for the moms. The goal should be to move from control to influence. And where is that line? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know where that line is. I just know that at some point, we want to move controlling the child to being a positive influence for the child. Last but not least, number three, feeling less than. Because sometimes as moms, you know you just blow it, or you feel like you've blown it. My fifth grade year, elementary school went through sixth grade where I went to school in Easley. My fifth grade year, I played football. And my mom came to every game. Let me correct that. I was on a football team, and I sat the bench. And my mom came to every game. She never missed a game. In fact, I was number 71. She got a T-shirt made with the number 71 printed on it, and wore it to the game. And I'm like, oh, you're so proud of your son who sits on the bench. Everybody knows who number 71 is because it's big, big old butts right there on the bench, okay? She came to every game, though. But the next year, my sixth grade year, she only came to one game. She only came to one. Now, let me pause. The reason she only came to one is because she had terminal cancer and was dying. And the one game that she came to, it was a fight and struggle for her to get to that game. I never will forget it. I played out of my mind that game. And I can remember leaving the house for my next game and her sitting in the chair going, "Perry, I'm so sorry, I'm not going to be able to come to your game." And she's crying. I remember telling her, "Mom, it's okay. I get it." And I didn't understand, but I kind of understand it now. Because sometimes, moms, you feel like you want to be there, but you can't. You wanted to be there, but you can't because maybe it was because of a divorce or an affair or some bad decisions or an addiction or something went crazy in the family or something happened and it threw you off and you weren't able to be there for your child at a graduation or a wedding or something and you missed something in your child's life and you just feel less than because you missed that thing. How do you deal with that? Well, let's take a look at Mary. Because according to the scriptures, the only miracle that Mary saw Jesus do was the water into wine. It's the only one she saw. It was actually her idea. She never saw Jesus lay his hands on a sick person and that sick person get well. She never saw Jesus raise somebody from the dead. She wasn't there the day Jesus did the loaves and fish thing where he fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. She didn't see him walk on water. She didn't hear him preach the Sermon on the Mount. She didn't hear him talk about the Beatitudes. She wasn't there. She missed it all because he wasn't doing what she thought he should be doing. But then he's arrested and he's put on trial and he's beaten and he's crucified. And we don't know how, but somehow Mary makes it to the cross. And we see in John chapter 19, verse 26, when Jesus saw his mother standing there, he said to her, pause. Oh, the things he could have said to Mary. And by the way, just a side note, if you're here today and you're bitter at your mom for something, whether you're a man or a woman, I hope you take something out of this. Because Jesus could have looked at Mary and said, really, mom? You're going to show up now? Thanks, mom, for nothing. Thank you for not believing in me. Thank you for not believing I am who the angel said I was. Thank you for not being there for my miracles, and thank you for not being there for the time I brought Lazarus back from the dead, and thank you for missing all my sermons, and thank you for missing when I rode into Jerusalem on the donkey and everybody was screaming Hosanna. Thank you, mom, for missing. He could have said so many things. He could have gone off on his mother, and he had been right. But there's something happening in this text. Mary is standing with John, the guy that wrote the Gospel of John. John would outlive all the other apostles, and he would also outlive the brothers of Jesus, which makes this next verse in context so powerful, because Jesus didn't say a lot from the cross. He was pretty busy paying for our sins. But the verse in full says, when Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, he said to her, dear woman, here's your son. And he said to this disciple, here's your mother. And from then on, this disciple took her into his home. Don't miss this. Jesus, while he was making redemptive arrangements for the world, paused and made arrangements for his mother, which shows us the heart of God for mothers in this world, even when you don't get it right, even when you feel helpless, even when you feel like you're out of control, even when you feel less than, Jesus looked at his own mother and said, I love you, Mom. I'm gonna make sure you're taken care of. And you know what? It worked out pretty good for Mary, because she saw her son die. And I can't even imagine that kind of pain. But 3 days later, that crazy Jesus kept just following the word, and the word said he would rise from the dead, so he did. And in Acts 1, he ascended into heaven, and the disciples went back and they got in a room of about 120 people. And this is what's so cool about Mary. She never really believed until after the resurrection. Because let's be honest, it's hard to believe somebody's the Son of God when you change their diapers. But when you see him rise from the dead, Luke makes sure to tell us in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, they all met together and were constantly united to prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. The mother of Jesus and the brothers of Jesus all became followers of Jesus, not because they were perfect, but because of a perfect Savior looking at them going, it's okay, you're forgiven. And because I'm alive, you can live. And that same promise that Jesus made to those followers then, he makes to us today. Because I'm alive, you can live. So Jesus, I want to thank you today for how good you are. I want to thank you, Jesus, that because you are alive, that all of us can live. And thank you, Jesus, that even though we don't know what tomorrow holds, we know that you hold tomorrow in your hands, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And because you live, anything this world throws our way, we can overcome. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's pray. Jesus, I want to thank you today that no matter what condition any of us are in or in this room today, moms or not moms, we can have hope. We can have hope because you're alive. And Jesus, if you overcame death and you live inside of us, that makes us stronger than anything that we're facing, the storm, the tough time, the difficulty. I want to pray for every single person in this room, especially the moms, Jesus, that today they would walk out of this room knowing that you're alive and that God, your heart is for them. My head's still bowed and eyes still closed. Maybe you're here today and you have never prayed to receive Christ. Jesus is alive, but you've never asked Jesus to come into your life. Spiritually, the Bible calls that condition not bad, but dead. And here's the good news. You can become alive today by asking Jesus to come into your life, by giving your life to Christ, by asking him to be your Savior. So if that's the decision that you need to make today before we leave, I want to lead you in a prayer from this stage, and I'm going to ask you just to repeat it back if you want to ask Jesus in your life, but I'm going to ask you to say this prayer out loud because I want you to hear yourself declare these words. I want the people around you to hear you say it, but don't worry about feeling singled out because everybody in our Second Chance family, we're going to pray this out loud with you. So you'll know you're supported by every single person in this room. So if you need to pray to receive Christ today, you pray this with me. A Second Chance family, let's let them know they're not alone. Just say, Jesus Christ, I know that I'm a sinner and I need you as my Savior. I believe you died on the cross and rose from the grave to pay for my sin. And right now, Jesus, I declare you as Lord. Come into my life and take over. In Jesus' name I pray. With heads still bowed and eyes still closed all over this room, if you just prayed that prayer and you just asked Christ to come into your life before you leave today, I would love to say a quick prayer with you and for you. So do me a favor, with nobody looking around, if you just prayed that prayer, would you shoot your hand straight up in the air and just leave it up? Would you put your hand, just put it straight up in the air, just straight up in the air and just leave it up for just a second? I want to make sure I see everyone. I want to make sure I honor every single hand that's in the air, every single hand. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You can put them down. God, I want to thank you today for salvation in this house. God, I want to thank you today for the work that you're stirring up in each one of us. And God, I want to say a big, huge thank you today for every single mother in this room. For the ones, God, that feel like maybe they're not getting it right. Jesus, I pray that we would know that in your time, you make everything right. And that we, all of us, we would just be reminded, there's a reason we need you. We will put our eyes on you and let you lead us in your ways, knowing that you work out all things for good for those who love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody that agreed said, amen. Are you glad you came to church today? Man, I love you guys. I can't wait to see y'all back next week.